We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
So many of you are praying for me, and I really appreciate that, and I can really sense it. They're going to now put a shot in my hip next week. I can't have it this week because the doctor is on holiday. By the way, while you're listening to me ramble, turn over to Psalm 78. That's where we're going to be tonight. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 10. But and then in the end of August, I got one kidney stone left. It's for sale if you'd like to buy it. Highest bidder. They're going to blast that thing out of me. I've had it for years, and I think it's time to get rid of it. Chad was talking about how warm it here is here in Florida. I've never been in heat like this since back in the 70s when I went to Spain in the Air Force. You know, in England, when it gets this hot, I'm not kidding you, the roads melt. They actually put sand down on the roads because the roads are made so porous because they have so much rain over there, so it can expand and contract. But when they get the opposite, they get the heat. In our village, they used to have to put sand through almost the entire village. And you can hear the cars going down the road sticking anyhow. But please pray for me. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to be leaving to go up to Indianapolis. I'll be there over the weekend to celebrate the first year's birth of our grandson. And we're excited about that. And so, and of course, be with Pastor Todd. When he gets off, I get to work, and I do appreciate that. So if you want to send him away more, let me know. Anyhow. All right, here we go. Listen, Psalm 78, watch verse 1. I'm just going to hit verse 1, then I'm going to take us down into the text. But this verse 1 is very critical. Listen to what it says. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now let's head down to verse number 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight because we as your people, perhaps knowingly or unawarely, as a nation have drifted. We know tonight, Lord, it's not which politician we get, but it's God's people and their willingness to turn and do right. And Lord, tonight as we look at your people and we look at the disaster that occurred here, may it so touch our hearts that we would make change. That we could be the people that could turn us once again. Bless now the preaching of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had somebody come into your life and it seems the more you help them, the more they take advantage of you? Anybody ever had that? How about this one? The more you give them, the more they abuse you? You've had that one? And then they even take from you without returning. You ever had that? I think a lot of us have experienced that type of person in our life. It's very disconcerting. It hurts. It leaves a bad taste in our mouth. And it takes us a long time to get over that type of a person. And to be quite honest with you, sometimes people like that are users their whole life. Now, this is not a new problem. This was the problem with Ephraim. Ephraim was the largest tribe of Israel. Their roots, they come from Jacob through Joseph. They had the greatest blessings of God in their life, more than the other tribes of Israel. And it seemed that the more God blessed them, the more they rebelled, the more they decided to do things they shouldn't do. And it just seemed that no matter what God would try to do with them, they just refused. They were a very rebellious people. And tonight I want to share with you what causes us to rebel. I'm sure all of us, if we were honest tonight, we know what we rebel to. But what about rebelling to God? Are we in rebellion to God tonight? Maybe we don't think we are. I hope you're not. But I'm going to share with you where Ephraim found themselves in Israel as a whole in the rebellion. And here's what causes rebellion. In your outline tonight, the first thing you want to put in there, a cowering spirit. A cowering spirit. In verse number 9, look carefully at verse number 9. It says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Let me share this with you. They were equipped to do battle for God, and God couldn't rely on them. As a matter of fact, they turned back. They refused to go into combat. Can I bring that down to the home plate tonight? There's a lot of God's people that are turning back. And by the way, when you turn back from where God has pointed you, you're turning back to a direction that's going to get you into trouble. They were armed. They're carrying bows. I mean, that would be like carrying a machine gun. You know, they were ready to go. Now stop and think about this, folks. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you that's in the world. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says, listen, take the shield. And that'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. God has equipped us. God told his disciples, he said, listen, in this world, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have opposition. The Bible says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And God is calling on the Christian tonight in America to stand up and to defend the faith. He's not asking you to be a preacher per se. He's not asking you to be a Republican or a Democrat. He's asking you to be a Christian. And he's asking you to defend the faith. And whether we like it or not, we are in spiritual warfare. And what is taking place tonight in our country is taking place all over the world. Evil is sticking its head up. And God is calling on his people to stand up and to be accounted for. I've heard stories of Christians, they're afraid to pray in a restaurant. Who cares if somebody gets mad? I don't care. Listen, I was down the other side of Florida, not Florida, but the other side of Tampa. Marge and I went in and prayed one time, sat down before we got a hamburger. And a lady came up to me, she said, man, you don't see that anymore. I said, well, you're always going to see it with me. Why are we afraid? You know, when I used to be over in England, Christians used to hide their Bibles. Why? Do you have a cowering spirit? Listen, just going to work and doing your job the way you're supposed to can be a war. But we shouldn't cower. There's a lot at stake. Here's another cause of rebellion. A contempt for God's word. Here, look at verse number 10. It says, they kept not the covenant of God. They refused to keep their end of the agreement. God had made a covenant with Israel, and he said, listen, you do what I tell you to do, and I'll bless you. And Israel said, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. And they dishonored God. I don't know if I told you this story, but one time I decided that I was going to fleece God. That's a dangerous thing to do. Anybody ever try that in here? So I fleeced God. God did his end of the stick, and what I promised to God, I didn't keep my promise. And my wife will tell you, I thought I was going to die. Because I broke my promise to God. And God said, Tom, you don't keep your word. And ever since then, I always warn people, if you're going to fleece God, you better keep your word. Now, God has never given us anything that's beyond our abilities if we'll trust Him. Someone says, you know, as a Christian, I can do what I want. No, you can't. Even freedom has its parameters. You can only stay free if you live within those parameters. You can only, as a Christian, be successful if you stay within the parameters of Christianity. But you know, the day that we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we sold out to Him. We gave Him everything. He owns us. But they had a contempt for the Word of God. They just, no, I'm not gonna listen to you, God. You know, Israel was notorious for this. Their word meant nothing to God. I sure hope you're not one of these Christians that promise God everything in a time of trouble and then you deliver nothing. Here's another one. They had a contentious nature. They refused to walk in His law. You know what? I'm going to just share something with you tonight that's bothering me. I hear people say all the time, well, it doesn't matter if you read your Bible. Excuse me. How do you expect to hear from God if you don't read His Word? How about this one? Well, I shouldn't be made feel bad because I don't read my Bible. Why don't you feel bad? I want to know everything in there is to know. Here's Israel. They refuse to walk in His law. Here's something that you and I need to understand. We're in a confusing situation tonight. It's not what you know in Christianity. It's what you do. All of us know more than we're probably willing to live. It's more important to live what you know than to just continue to learn things and live nothing. We have put knowledge in a wrong place. And if God's Word says it, then we ought to do it. Amen? He didn't ask our opinion. When I got the basic training, I made a terrible mistake. How many of you made a mistake when you're in basic training? You ever ask the TI a question? That's dumb. You don't do that. I asked the TI about the second or third day there. I said, hey, why do we do that? He said, Adams, if the Air Force wanted you to have a brain and think they'd have given you one. He said, read the book. And in the Air Force, we used to have this little book. Anybody here from the Air Force? I got to watch this tonight because these other guys get on us. Anyhow, you keep that little book in your pocket. And every time you stop or stand still, you're supposed to take that thing out and read it. And you got to memorize it backwards, forwards, and upside down. And then ultimately, before you leave, you get a test. And if you don't pass it, then you go back. In the military, it's structured to follow rules and regulations. The ultimate outcome of that is for the defense of the United States of America, to do your duty, to respond to what is asked of you. When I used to fly in the Air Force, I was an enlisted member. I flew, and I had duties in the cockpit. And we had what was called bold face. Now, bold face are those items that you absolutely must know how to do without looking at a checklist. You cannot miss one question on the exam. Your question, you have an exam probably about every 6 or 8 weeks, and these bold face questions are always in there. What to do if this happens, and what to do if this happens. And the idea is that instinctively you respond. Well, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You take them internally and you make them part of your life. And when somebody looks at you and somebody looks at me, what they're seeing is this word of God living in us. And some people say, I refuse to do it. I'm not going to live by the Bible. I'm not going to follow the Bible. The Bible's out of touch. I got news for you. The Bible is more relevant tonight than ever. And the reason a lot of Christians are stumbling and getting themselves in trouble is because they're not taking in the Word of God. With all this newfangled technology, you still got to sit down and read the Bible. And you still got to sit there and you still got to think about it. You still got to pray about it. And you still got to ask God for wisdom. James said it well. He said, if any lacketh wisdom, let him ask God. That he'll give it to you. If you really want to know. But there's no way around it. Now let me ask you, have you read your Bible today? When's the last time you've opened your Bible up? See, one of the things, when I went to Eastern Europe right after the revolution, I went into Romania. And man, that was a scary time. That really was. I got some videos where the military would walk behind us and they had their Kalashnikovs and he'd go, ch-ch-ch. And what they were saying is, we're the muscle. If you act up, you're going to get in trouble. And we weren't supposed to look at them. And anyhow, when we got there, the guy who took us in said, listen, I got to go to this lady's house. And we got there late at night. And I said, what are you doing, Carl? He said, well, they don't have any Bibles. He said, I'm going to give her my Bible. And she reads and writes English. And she's going to, from now until we leave, she'll stay up and she will write out the entire book of John and translate it in Romanian. Amen. And I thought to myself, we complain about reading a Bible and there's people still waiting for one? There's people that would do anything for a Bible and we don't have time to read it? And then on top of that, we refuse to do what the Bible teaches us. You know what I find hard in the Bible? When the Bible says, listen, if somebody smacks you on one side of the cheek, turn and let them smack you on the other. Please don't test me on that. I'm sure you probably would lose too. I often think of stuff like that. Pray for your enemies. That's not easy. Listen, we were getting ready to attack in the Second Gulf War. And I had a pilot sitting down in front of the church, right? Well, he was on this side. And I brought a message on forgiving your enemy. And he got so mad at me. And he walked out. I said, brother, they're not my words. They're God's words. It's tough, but it's worth it. Wouldn't you rather go to bed tonight and lay down knowing that you follow God's word for the day? You did what God told you. You know, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. It doesn't cost anything to say, I'm sorry. It doesn't cost anything to help someone. But you see, when you're doing things like that, you're reflecting Christ in your life. And it's not what we know, it's what we do. And some Christians know just enough to say no. No. You know, I often hear Todd talking. I always wonder when he starts talking about our family and stuff. You ever wonder, you go, is he going to say something, you know? Yeah. In our home, we never discussed going to church. That's what we did. We never discussed. Listen, when a revival came in from the States at another church, a guy come over, we'd all go. We always did everything together. We didn't start pointing our finger at the Bible and put question mark where God has put periods. And by the way, the young people that complain about reading their Bible that are sitting in church, excuse me, would you be in church if you weren't made to read your Bible? You know, when you're growing up, let me help the young people here tonight. God did not ask children to raise parents. Parents raise children. And you always have to remember that. And children will always, in most instances, try to get their own way. Listen, they know how far to push you. They know when my boys knew exactly where to quit. But here's the thing, folks. I told my boys this. I said, boys, I don't know where you're going to wind up in life. But I want you to know one thing. The Bible works. And the Bible will keep you out of sin, or sin will keep you out of the Bible. And you can always go back to the Bible. Isn't that great? So, they had a contentious nature. They refused to walk in His law. The psalmist says this in Psalm 119, verse 18. He says, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Why did he ask this? Here it is. "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandment from me." We're just strangers. We're just passing through. And so the idea here is the psalmist is saying, listen, I'm just a pilgrim. I want to know. You know why I don't get so upset about what's going on in our world tonight? I know how it ends. Amen? We win. I always like to win. I don't know about you. I read an article the other day. They're talking about the Olympics, and they said the worst medal to get in the Olympics. Anybody know what it is? Silver. You'd think bronze would be. Silver. I know we win. I know one day, when we least expect it, God's going to look over to Jesus and He's going to say, "Go get him." And you know, some Baptists are going to say, "Oh man, is this it?" Here's what I want to say to you tonight about our world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are supposed to be the light of the world. I don't like what I see. It disturbs me like every other person. But God is still on the throne. And God is still in control. And here's something to think about, folks. If the church would not go through persecution of some kind, it would be the first generation that has experienced no chastisement from the world. So think about that. And then, number four, you might want to put in there, they had a clouded memory. They had a clouded memory. You know what happened to Israel and Ephraim? Look at verse number 11. "And forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them." What about what God has done in your life? I mean, listen, when you got saved, God just got another headache. You and I were a piece of work. Amen. Still am. Amen. I hear that. Sometimes I go, "Man, God, why do you put up with me?" You know, I try not to forget the times when God spared me from a car accident. I was coming home from Peterborough one night. Severe fog set in. The whole family was in the car. Peterborough is about an hour from our house. And it's in that flat part of England where they get the horrendous fog. And sometimes it sits for weeks on end. And I remember driving, and all at once I just felt this overwhelming thing to slow down. And I heard this bang, 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 bang. It just seemed like it didn't end. And a truck and a guy went out the side. And I'm sitting there, and I couldn't see hardly in front of me, and I definitely couldn't see behind me. And I remember sitting there for a while, and I said, "Man, Marge, what happened?" Well, we all just looked at each other. "I don't know." So I sat there for a while, and I thought, well, I'm going to try to go, because then I could see all these cars. And a constable stopped me as soon as I started to pull out. He said, "Where were you at?" I said, "Right there." He said, "How comes you didn't get hit?" I said, "I don't know. I do know now. God spared me." Every car in front of us and behind us was crunched up. And I drove home. Have you ever forget about how God blessed you with something? Dropped something on your lap out of the middle of nowhere. Maybe a job. Maybe something you needed. Sometimes He even drops money on our laps. But you know, we have a tendency to forget those things. And our mind gets clouded. And we forget what God has done for us. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you'd have ever told me that I was going to go into ministry, I'd have probably gave you a black eye. Salvation, I didn't even want to hear about it. But when God gets a hold of you, you don't get away. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He didn't let me go. My wife was saved before I was. I used to look at her and think, one day she'll just give up on this. And then the boys got saved. Now I got to thinking, wait a minute. And my wife was so nice to me. And she'd say, hey, I wouldn't go to I'd go to church Sunday morning to appease her. But Sunday night, I wanted to watch pro football. So she'd always say, well, Tom, now you just stay home if you want. That irked me more than anything else. Because before she was saved, we'd have had a war over it. And then she just started reading her Bible and praying with the boys. And man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that God looked down on me and touched me. I don't want to forget the near misses in cars and just the blessings of God. I could tell you how God blessed us financially. But why do we forget those things? Because our mind gets clouded. We start thinking about too many other things. We overthink things. The situation just gets worse. Notice what they seem to have forgotten. Put there their salvation. Look what he says in verse 12 and 13. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, and in the land of Egypt, and in the field of Zion. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water to stand as a heap. Listen, he delivered them. You don't ever want to forget the day you got saved. I don't ever want to let that slip. I know exactly where I was. I know exactly what I was doing. Sometimes when children get saved, they'll come to me and they say, Pastor, I just don't quite remember because I was a little child. That's fine. You shouldn't have to have all the garbage in your life like I had. And by the way, the children that get saved are the real hero, not the football players and not the NFL and all of them. And I got some news for you tonight, my dear friend. If you think God cares one bit if a team scores a touchdown, you got something coming. When there's a world full of people suffering, being butchered for the faith and everything else, if you think He's worried about a football game, you don't know God. And we forget. Have you ever tried to think about what that must have been like to walk through the Red Sea? Now let's see your hands and let's be honest. Mine's going up first. How many of you would have touched the wall? How many of you would have poked it? You bet. How many of you would have stood there and tried to grab a fish? You know, my youngest son, Troy, he couldn't keep his hands off anything. Any of you ever had a kid like that? He touched everything. Everything he touched. I don't know why he had to touch everything. I tell Troy when we go in the store, put your hands in your pockets and don't take them out. So I'm coming up on my fifth year coming out of probation for my permanent passport to stay in England. It's called Leave to Remain. So they told me, listen, you got to go to Norwich Airport to get this stamp because there's a certain authority that has to stamp it. So we get there and there's Troy and he's looking around. I said, Troy, don't touch nothing. And all at once I hear this, alert, alert, the terrorist horn went off. Guess who pushed the button? Troy. I was looking at the guy, and I shut my eyes and went, no, Lord, please. This guy's about to stamp my passport. I don't want to go to the Norwich prison. Lord, please. Troy, sorry, Dad. He just touched everything. One time we were at the officers club eating. And Troy said, hey, Dad. He said, can I have a couple dimes? I wasn't thinking too clear because I was hungry. The next thing you know, I hear all the lights in the building go, Troy comes rushing and said, man, Dad, I'm in trouble. I said, what did you do? He said, well, there was this big machine with a handle on it. And I stuck these dimes in and pulled it. And all the lights went off. He won the house jackpot. So we had a sin offering at church that night. So I would suspect if Troy was walking through the Red Sea, he'd been poking holes at it. And most of us, we'd have probably been just going like this and going like that and going, wow. Our salvation is greater than that. Did you know one of the problems that Israel had? Their fathers experienced that, but they didn't pass it on. And they somehow forgot about their salvation. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to go back from where I came from. I've got no desire whatsoever to revisit that old life. Here's another one, his leadership. Look at verse 14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and at night with a light of fire. I think that would have been awesome. Can you imagine the heathens on the other side of the hill, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, the Hittites, and all the other ites that were out there? Can you imagine them seeing that big old cloud moving them in that fire at night? I bet Israel went to bed and slept. But what about the Lord's leadership in your life? Have you forgot where He's led you? The things He's delivered you from? Have you forgot about the day that he showed you where to go? You know, people often ask me, how did I wind up in England? Well, I initially, when I was in England, I was in the Air Force, and there was a little Baptist church there, and I was the Sunday school superintendent, and I was called to preach, and the pastor lost his hearing. And so he asked me if I'd be interested in taking a church. I said, yeah, but I'm going back to the States. Call me, you know, and let me know. Well, what happened is they voted and they wanted 100%. You're never going to get 100% out of Baptists. I don't care. If you put two Baptists in a room long enough, one gets a black eye. That's the way it works. And so it was like 89 or something like that. So he called me on the phone. He said, Tom, you got to come back. He said, I'm positive it's God's will for you to be here. You got to come back. I'm losing my hearing. I'm leaving. And I'll never forget, I walked into the bedroom and I told Marty, I said, well, what are we going to do? And it came out of our mouth exactly the same way at the same time. We got to go back. Because that's what God told us to do. 28 and a half years later, I've seen a lot of the hand of God. And some of us rebelled to God's leadership. You can only run and hide so long. You can only stay obscure until God one day says, I'm going to expose you. I forgot about that hand of God that led them. Here's another one, daily provision. Look at verse 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of a great depth. Daily provision. I don't think there's any one of us in here tonight that go hungry. As a matter of fact, some of us could sing the song, Push Away, Push Away. But I tell you, I've been in countries where they don't eat. My first trip into Romania with Todd to dedicate a church, we were out in a village. And we had a long service. They have 5.5-hour church services over there. And what they do is they take turns sitting. So the aisles would be full of people standing. About every 10 or 15 minutes, you hear this commotion where some sit down and some get up, and it just keeps going on. And when the service was over, they come up. They said, look, you got to get out of the country. There's a blizzard coming down from Russia. And if you've ever been over in Eastern Europe, when it snows in Russia and it comes down over the Baltics and that, it's horrendous. It snows by the feet. So we cut it short. We got out, we got in a van, and I'm sitting there eating a piece of chicken, minding my own business, and out of the corner of my eye, I catch this little girl coming up. She had no coat on. It's snowing. She had a summer dress and no shoes or socks. And she just stood there and looked at me. And I'm trying to do the spiritual thing and not look at her. But God is just, you know, God can just turn what you don't want turned, and the harder you resist, the more He pushes. And there's that little girl, and you know, she's not looking at me. You know what she's looking at? The chicken bones on the dashboard. God spoke to Mark and said, Tom, would you give them to her? And here's what God taught me. I rolled that window down. That little girl took that chicken bone, and right in front of me, she started gnawing it apart. The bone. The bone. And I thought, dear God, I can tell you another other instances. One I can think with my wife. We were eating a pizza in Aradia. And folks, I'm telling you, until you see people that are starving, that are hungry, you don't realize how blessed we are to have what we want, really. And these kids would try to come in the restaurant, and they would literally beat them. They would beat them to keep them outside. And I can remember one night we were sitting there, and these kids were staring in the window at us. And I thought, dear God, these kids are so hungry. And we went out and we fed them. And I'm telling you, we forget how well we have it. We just have it so well. And we forget the daily provisions that God provides for us. Why? God doesn't owe it to us. You know, here's the prevailing attitude of Israel and Ephraim. Look at verse 17. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. The more God gave to them, the greater their sin. What an indictment. Notice, it reached the point to where it provoked God. Now, I got an old Irish friend of mine. And whenever I talk to him, if we talk about spiritual things and I get a little out of tweak a little bit, he'll say, now, Tom, he said, you don't want the Almighty to clear his throat when he's talking to you. You know, that's when the school teacher goes, he said, you don't want that, Tom. But they provoked God. Could it be tonight that we as Americans are provoking God? Not the lost people, the church. Are we angering God? After all, the Bible says that a nation is blessed by God's people. They are the ones that keep the blessing of God on it. And verse 18, look at this. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. God saw their heart. They're tempting God. I believe you can only go so far tempting God. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want God to be mad at me. My thing with God is simply this. God, please tell me. I don't want you to have to put your hand of wrath on me. So what's God's response? God doesn't have much of a choice in this. Notice, look at verse 21 through 23. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because, listen to this, they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Whew. God said, listen, I've given you so much, I've blessed you with so much, and you aren't even thankful for your salvation and the deliverance I've given you. Do you know, I don't know how much you know American history, but we were delivered from England. And we were delivered from a lot of things. And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say this because I believe it to be true. I believe we're ticking on the last couple seconds of God's grace. And I think if we're not very careful as a nation, and if God's people don't come together and start praying and start deciding to do what is right, no matter what they say, we're headed for trouble. Does anybody know what happened in Russia 2 weeks ago? Anybody really know? Some of you do. Put your hand up if you know what happened over there to Christians. See, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us, 6. They've gone back underground again. They're not allowed to announce. They're not even allowed to say the name of Jesus outside the church. They're not allowed to have a Bible. And they're getting ready to push them right back underground again. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The big thing now is the Ark up in Tennessee. Not Tennessee. Kentucky, that's right, Kentucky. Hey, if an atheist doesn't like it, why does he go up there and complain about it? Hey, do you know there wouldn't be no atheists if there was no God? You ever think about that? It's kind of stupid, isn't it? And they're up there saying, oh, this is unbelievable, and they're brainwashing kids, and they better hope one day it don't float. Hey, let me give you a thought about something. I'm running out of time here now. Let me give you a thought about something. Don't think God couldn't flood America. Now, don't come out with this idea and say, well, God just said the rainbow and He never flooded the world. Yeah, the world, not America. We're just part of the big world. Now, here's what I want to leave you with tonight. You got to be honest in your heart of hearts. Are you rebelling to God? I mean, are you really? Have you reached a point to where you cower? Years ago when I first started preaching, I had to come to the settlement of this. If I'm a preacher, then I have to stand up and say so, and I have to take everything that comes with it, whether people like me or not. I'm just a messenger. Could God use you? You got a Bible. You're armed. You don't have to go far. The enemy's all around us. And by the way, if you study eschatology, you find it's in between 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You find that there comes a point where there's a great falling away of the church. Something catastrophic occurs that peels off a lot of people that aren't in the church, that aren't true believers. What about God's Word? Have you got contempt for God's Word? Let me help you with something. I've studied the Bible for years. I got a degree in it. You know what a Bible degree gets you? That and 30 cents gets you the operator. And probably 40 cents now. But here's what I want to tell you about the Bible. The Bible is of no value to you until you put it into practice. Until you decide to say, okay, God, if you say it, I'm going to put you to the test. And I'm going to try it. And I got some good news for you. It always works. It's never failed me. Not one time. Maybe tonight you're saying, like I've heard some Christians come to me and say, I just can't believe that. Well, then you better check up to see if you're saved. You either believe all of it or none of it. Amen. I even believe the maps in the back. I don't have no problem with them. As a matter of fact, I checked them against some maps when I was in the Air Force one day. Guess what? They're accurate. Have you got a contentious nature? You're just refusing to serve God. You're refusing to walk the way God wants you to walk. Is your memory clouded? You somehow just kind of letting things, you just let them go? Do you know, here's an interesting thought. Life is not made up of time, but it's made up of moments in time. If I were to ask you certain things in your life, you would remember them, and other things you'll not remember. Those moments that you remember have had the greatest impact in your life. And the greatest impact in your life and my life ought to be our salvation. Amen? Our relationship with the Lord. And so, The problem that I see tonight in our country, it's not our politicians. It's our church. And until God's people somehow can turn back, somehow be brokenhearted, we're just going to keep on marching in the direction we are. The moral fiber of America does not come from laws written by Congress. They come from the Bible. Let me share something with you. If you ever study the life of Adolf Hitler, you're going to find something out about him. When he rose to power, with all his evil, wicked things, some of the basic principles of the Bible he put back into attack, into Germany. In Russia, Russia claimed to be atheistic. But yet, if you look at their dogma, they practice the Ten Commandments. And you and I are obligated by God.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.